Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. I, you Jesus, even as it sees us in itself, is glorified and we are edified in this service to the Amen. Glory to God. So, like I said, the Christian prayer ministry, and this is the third section, Matthew 28, 4 verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's what power, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So we say something very vital here is the fact that Jesus didn't just appear to them to show them that he's alive. He taught them. Hallelujah. And in teaching them, he gave them instructions. And this will be Matthew's rendering of the instructions. Take note of what he said. He said, and lo, I am with you always. Now, the use of that word, I am with you always, is a fact of the scriptures. That Jesus is divinity. That Jesus is God. Hope you are saying that. Jesus is God. Jesus is not just a prophet. Hope you're hearing me. Jesus is not just a messenger. He is God himself in the flesh. Hope you're following. God himself in the flesh. And he makes that statement. They say, I am with you always. That is how God will speak in the Old Testament. You say, I am that I am. I am. I will go before you. Did you see that? It's God's name. Is God's signature. So I am is God's signature. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, Mark put the same instruction to me. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name they will cast out devils. So they will speak with new tongues. So they will take up serpent, and if they drink any deadly sin, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them. Did you see that? Walking with them. Is not, and they went and preached everywhere, and the Lord looking at them from the sky. No. So the Lord walking with them. It shows you that that assignment will be God carrying out his assignment through them. He said the Lord is walking with them. So that means the call to Christianhood, the call to be born again, is a call to partnership. The Lord walking with them. You know, the way Mark puts it, he said the Lord walking with them shows the partnership that we have. That's union. So he said the Lord working with them is a Genesis 1:1 fact. Heaven and earth. Partnership. Man partnering with God in God's assignment in the earth. Did you see that? Or you put God partnering with man to see his assignment done in the earth. Hope you are following that. Amen? God partnering with man. And that will be the I am with you always. Did you see that? I am with you always. Statement of not just that Jesus is with us, but a statement of the fact that he's divine, he's divine. Hallelujah. His divinity. And God knows man on his own, something we're going to see later on, man on his own cannot carry out this task for him, because the task from Genesis 1 is a supernatural task. And man was made natural. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Man was made natural to have encounter with supernatural beings. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So,
When Bible says the first man, Adam, was a living soul, was referring to man was made natural.
You see that? Amen. Amen. For to receive the Spirit. Very vital.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go further a bit. Look at Luke. Luke 24, verses 47. It says, "And as repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name among all nations, and ye are witnesses of these things." Right? We are witnesses of these things. It says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Do you see that? "For Father, ye in the city of Jerusalem." So he gives them the same instruction with the promise. Say, "I send the promise of my Father upon you." Amen? Amen? A statement of the fact that he is with them. So when they use the word, "I send the promise of my Father upon you," it would imply man is going to take of what is available to him upon. Did you see that? Amen? So when you use the word "endure," it's you to put it on, but it is within you. Hallelujah. So it's a statement saying that he is with them. Hallelujah. He's going to be with them, and they will have a responsibility to put it on them. Hallelujah. Hope you're following in the preaching of the gospel. Something very, very vital you need to see, not to lose sight of it. So if you watch what Jesus said to them in the resurrection, there was no time he said he was going to leave them alone in the world. Hallelujah. Never. That is not a promise of scripture. So it shouldn't come out in your song. It shouldn't come out in your talk. Because it's not scripture. Do we have something like that as popular opinion? Yes, I told you. We have several people. There are several people who know God by what they say, what they watch on Nollywood or in Nollywood. And some people even sing it out. It might be a strong song with good beats most times. Eh? The wrong words find their ways into good beat. And you are carried away with the beat and you are singing wrong. Some people just like the bass. All I know is to lie down. It is available. I am dancing. It's the beat you're going for. Hallelujah. Amen. Go to God. Amen. But make sure you have the right words. So such, you know, is as vital as that. It shouldn't come out in your speech. It shouldn't come out in your songs. "He's coming back again, my God." Coming back from where? You have the next question from where? "He went away and promised that." Where did he promise he's coming back again? Still not in the Bible. He's nowhere there. Hallelujah. He's nowhere there in the Bible. That he went away. He went to where? Heaven. Where is heaven? Which planet is heaven? No, heaven is up. Sure, alright. Heaven is up. No. Hallelujah. Okay, what is it? When heaven is used, it's used for a what? Spiritual place.
When he says, "Go to heaven." Let me show you something. Luke 24. Verses 26. I want to show you something here. It says, "Ought not the Christ to suffer and to ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?"
What are the things that have happened?
Adam, what are you doing? This is here at all.
This is really fun.
Okay.
So, now look at it. It says, "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory." So now people say,
he's going back to enter into his glory. He's going back to heaven. When you use the word "enter" there, is the word in the Greek that is used for where you have not been before. You see that? So that he came from heaven, he's going back to heaven. No. Is this for where he's not? So
his glory there
was not referring to where he was before. Did you see that? He's referring to where he's going to dominate. And where is God going to dominate from the Genesis? The whole earth. Did you see that? And that was referring to the heart of men. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The heart of man. So God, or Jesus, let me start from there, who is God, then leave the earth. He didn't leave the earth and say, you know what, earth is children's room. Let me go to master's room. No. No.
Amen. Yeah. I'll come and check you in the midnight.
What about when he says he's going to come like a thief in the night? No, he's a thief, he's armed robber. There's something wrong with your brain.
How can you say that? So he's going to come like a thief in the night. Just come now, we'll get it. Hallelujah. We're going to demystify all those mysteries you have in that time. Oh, he's a thief in the night. So he's going to come like this, thief in the night. So by 12 a.m., you're not asleep, you're afraid, no God. When you come tonight, carry me with you. Kind of nonsense prayer. Don't pray like that. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, don't pray like that.
Amen. He's in the earth. And he's in us. Hallelujah.
He will be found in the spirit.
He will be found in us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's go ahead.
So he does that right now. So Jesus reassures them that he is not leaving them. He is with them always. Amen. And when they went ahead preaching, look at the book of Acts. There was no time they preached and they said Jesus had left the earth. No. Amen. Peter did a miracle in Acts of Apostles chapter 3 when people gathered and they asked him, by which power did you do this miracle? He said, Jesus. He said, Jesus, whom you crucified. He said, he has wrought this miracle. He didn't talk about Jesus as though Jesus had come. He said, Jesus. He said, faith in him has made this man walk. The man whom you crucified. He said, in Acts 2, when they got up, when he began to talk to them, he said, David spoke of him, that he claimed that he will not see corruption. He said, but we know the sepulchre of David is both dead and buried. He said, but Jesus didn't see corruption. That is, he's telling them that he is alive. Hallelujah. Okay, following me, he's alive. The name of Jesus by faith in his name.
They didn't go ahead preaching, he has gone, so please pardon us for now. Let us be talking about him till he comes back. No. Hallelujah. So the message of the gospel is not the message of a going away to come back in. No. It's a message of he in us walking in the earth today. Hallelujah. And he's claiming territories for himself.
Hope you are following me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So very vital. Why Jesus in Matthew 28 will now say, teaching them. You know, it becomes very vital.
Because when Jesus resurrected, what he was found doing to them was teaching them. So teaching becomes very important as a believer. A believer who's not well taught God's word.
A believer who's not well taught God's word will cook concussion. Will cook concussion in scriptures. Hallelujah. He will cook concussion. And he will serve it to people.
Glory to God.
Okay, hear me. So I said to us, Christianity is a knowledge-based thing. That's what I said to us. It's knowledge-based. Where your worship of God, your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge of him. You can't worship God effectively when you don't know the scriptures. So the effectiveness of your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge of him. The effectiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said that is the reason why in scriptures you find out that the apostles and the writers of the epistles will desire and pray for believers to grow in knowledge. Look at this desire of Paul in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Look at what Paul says. And he's a writer. Hallelujah. So before we get there, look at 2 Peter 3 verses 18. Let's read together. One, two, go. Say, but grow in grace.
Hallelujah. That's a desire. Grow in grace. And what does it call to grow in grace? Say, and in the knowledge. So knowledge is right up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you also find it in the prayer of the apostles. We looked at John. We saw John last week, and we saw how John prayed for Gaius. Now when he said to him, in 3 John, when he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, we said it was a prayer for what? Knowledge. Right? The prayer for knowledge. That thou mayest prosper and be in health. We're not praying for him to be physically healed. He was not sick. The prayer was for him to what? Grow in knowledge. Hope you're following that. Now we saw also Ephesians. Quickly, let's watch to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the wisdom of the Spirit. That's the word, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Said the wisdom of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is what he calls revelation in the knowledge of him. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. Their prayer is concerning knowledge.
You see that? Concerning knowledge. So it's very vital.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Philemon, he wanted Philemon to walk in love towards Onesimus. He prayed for him that the communication of his faith, verse 4, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in him in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here is also another leader in church who prayed for his members. Colossians 4, verse 12. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently in prayer that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
You see that? In all the will of God.
That is a man there that was praying for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So, we said, a believer should thrive in proper interpretation of scriptures. Why?
because it will always reflect in your worship of God. You must pride in it.
Okay, you
must pride in proper interpretation of scriptures. I had this conversation one time like that with someone, and I said, proper interpretation of scriptures is not guessing or saying, I know it, I know this, I know it, pretext, post-text, in-text, out-text. No. Proper interpretation of scriptures will be seen in your worship of God. That's how I know you know it.
Amen. Amen. That is how I know you have the epignosis of that word.
Because the epignosis will deal with not just full and precise knowledge, it will also deal with the relationship or how you put it to work. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. Okay, hear me. So, someone who says he or she knows scriptures will be seen in how he or she worships the Lord. You will find out it, or it will be seen in his or her worship of God. Hope you are following. You're seen in their worship of God.
So last week we began dealing with what is prayer.
That's what we're dealing with. What is prayer?
I would say a lack of proper biblical understanding of what prayer is the reason why some have reduced it to a means of God killing their enemies. And the lack of proper biblical explanation, understanding rather what prayer is. So now there are people who think you only pray when you want to kill your enemy. And the only thing they know about prayer is Holy Ghost fire upon them. Wherever Satan are gathering, Holy Ghost fire upon them. So we are entering into Satan's territory. You want to pray. So we are going into Satan's territory in prayer.
Amen.
Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So, I will say first of all, what is prayer? We say prayer first is a temple activity. Prayer is a temple activity.
We saw that, right? It is a temple activity.
And what prayer is? Prayer is a temple activity. Mark that. Prayer is a temple activity. So when you hear the word temple, what comes to mind? Heaven and earth. Is that it? Heaven and earth. So prayer is what you will find in the union of man and God. We saw that.
Hallelujah. That in the ancient Near Eastern culture, when you offer prayer was in the temple. And Moses writing to them, after he has told them that God's oracle will be in heaven and earth, right? In God's oracle, that what God wants to do in the earth is heaven and earth together, right? So he gives them a temple in Exodus, but there was no temple, but there was no temple in Genesis.
Hopefully,
there was no temple in Genesis. But does that mean that it was lost on them that God wants to do heaven and earth in the Genesis? No. Hope you're following me. But Moses is going to employ the temple because the temple will not be used as a shadow. Tabernacle, right? Right? Tabernacle will not be used as a shadow. Not be used as a shadow for heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And why will he use the tabernacle? Because in their world, right? In their world, where men come to have interactions with deity was in the temple. Is that? So he said, let them make. So what would now then happen? They would now build, Moses now built a tabernacle. Now the tabernacle of the Lord to further explain Genesis 1:1, heaven and earth. Heaven will be spiritual place. Heaven will be where God stays. So God is saying heaven and earth together, and Moses is explaining that when you get into the temple, you have contact with deity. You are in the temple. Listen, you are in the temple. The temple automatically signifies you are united with deity. Hope you are following me. So what do you have as a major, one of the vital activities here is prayer. Hope you are following me. It's prayer. So we start.
Hallelujah. We saw it.
Right? And we saw that narrative too from Jesus. We're going to get there shortly again. So, listen, if prayer is a temple activity, if prayer is what you have in heaven and the earth, it therefore means that prayer is sacred. Hope you're hearing me. Prayer is what? Prayer is a sacred activity.
Sacred and spiritual.
Prayer is a sacred activity and spiritual, or put, supernatural activity. So, you know how to handle sacred activities. So, since prayer is sacred and supernatural, it therefore means I must not be found mocking prayer.
Obey me.
I mustn't be found mocking prayer, no matter what. Even though the person that is praying, you know he's praying that one, not more.
It's just very simple. It's sacred.
Isn't it?
Because
die, and you're not laughing. You are, see, yes, the person is praying in ignorance. Listen, it's praying in ignorance, but you don't have the right to mock it. It shouldn't come out in your jokes. You shouldn't be in a place where somebody is making jests and you are laughing at prayer. And somebody is throwing a joke on prayer and they are picking on a church and you are laughing. Hey! No! It shows you are not well cultured with God's word. What you should do when you are in a place where they are throwing jokes or making jokes and then I'm bringing one, I've told you, don't be in a place where they are using church to do comedy. Leave. Because church is sacred. Don't be found around it. Hope you're hearing. And I'm going to be very loud now. Before I received this instruction, I used to like two comedians, but I stopped listening to them. I stopped. Two. So if you know Pastor Remote, I would say, I even like his comedy, but I can't listen to him anymore. I don't.
It's as important as that. No matter how I like you, I cannot choose you over what you want.
Hope you're hearing me. You can't be mocking that sacred office. See, whatever you mock, you can't receive from. They know I'm just listening, I'm just laughing. Our comedian I like. Some of you might not know him. He's called Aboki for Christ. That is just the word, Aboki for Christ. How? Some of you who are close to me years back know I like listening to him. Why
are you Aboki?
Amen. It's an instruction. You can be found in that arena. Amen? One time like that, I was told that they invited comedian to church. Won't I come? I told comedian to come and go. Think the church is where we'll come and sit down and be laughing and be cracking jokes. You want to laugh, can't you have Holy Ghost with you? When we now say have Holy Ghost with you, let's laugh. Some people will be looking. Some people will only laugh, they know to laugh, they know to say, and that is what they do. But laugh with your laughter. But when they bring that key and perform, you'll be jumping up and down. Look at your life. You need somebody to make you laugh. You say, I love my heart out. But when they say, I'm Holy Ghost with you, let's laugh. You are so above frowning. People are laughing and say, what is making them laugh? Nobody crack joke. Why are they laughing?
Because you need someone to pinch you before you laugh. You are fooling yourself.
Amen? That was no meeting. Everybody laughing, you're just laughing. You are not laughing. Shimbai. Are you? Laugh, let's see you laugh.
Mm.
brethren.
Brethren, continue. Amen. But don't be found mocking those things. Don't be found mocking prayer. See that? There are some churches.
Then you are passing the other.
They don't even know what. They don't know the word.
We know the word. You that know the word. How many times have you prayed in the week? They call it the cup of prayer meeting. We've been fasting and praying this week. Some people have not even far. Talking about prayer. In the morning, you are waking up with biscuits. Afternoon, you are eating this. Night, you are doing. You are not even praying. People are doing that, and you are laughing at them. Judge yourself now. At least the devil is hearing their own voice every day. Your own voice is part-time voice. Will not hear it once in a year. Until when there is problem, that people will remember, I will look up to the hills. For where cometh my help. Only when there is problem, after that, they will lock up. No prayer again. Pray in the morning.
Change prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What is that?
Amen. Then I see some other people praying. And when we wake up in the morning, they hear people, let me not even go there today. Let me not go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must be found mocking spiritual activities. That is structure. Don't be. What are you hearing me? Don't be. Don't be found mocking it. If you know the truth about it, you pray your own. Who are you hearing me? Or you go and teach them. But don't mock it. Hallelujah. Because what you mock, you will never honor. What you mock, you will never honor. We'll get to that next week.
Yeah.
It's something we'll look at next week. So. So let's get back to what we're talking about. We said prayer is a temple activity. Or a temple activity rather. Hallelujah. Temple activity. So, or you put an activity you will find in God's union with man will be prayer. It will be prayer. This and prayer will be worship. Prayer will be worship. Prayer will be worship. I told you last week that prayer will be man bowing to the supremacy of God. Man bowing to the supremacy of God. Something we'll see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at something in Genesis. I showed you Genesis 18. Look at Genesis 18 again. Verses 22. This. And the men turned their faces hence towards and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? For adventure there be 50 in the city. Did you see that? Look at verses 20. He says, And the Lord said, Because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Now, during next section of Revelation of God, we'll look at it. Their sin is very grievous. So now, watch, you will discover, I'm trying to make sure I don't get into that teaching. You discover that Sodom and Gomorrah I told us yesterday, Sodom and Gomorrah is a city in history, right? It's a geographical location in the earth, right? Right? But Moses then used it as an imagery to teach God's salvation. God's oracle, better put. Hallelujah. Now watch, Moses before now gives a disclaimer about Sodom. And what did he say about Sodom?
He said, they are a sinful nation. Did you see that? They went to sin. Their sin is grievous. Hallelujah. Now, Abraham had that conversation with God, and I told you it's not a conversation. It's actually a prayer. Hallelujah. You have to pray.
And that is where you have find the word to give petition. Or put is called supplication. Giving petition. Hallelujah. He was giving petition to God
for salvation. For that thing. Hallelujah.
So you find him, began like he was negotiating. God give me this. What about 40? What about that? He used to spare the country. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to look at that further. But one thing you need to see is the fact that Abraham had to pray. Hallelujah. For Sodom. And what was he praying for? For deliverance. So when God said, I would go and see, God going to see Sodom wasn't that God wasn't aware what was going on in Sodom. I told you that yesterday. Hallelujah. God going to see Sodom was God going in there for salvation, for deliverance. So we're going to deal with that. Did God actually destroy Sodom? Well, it's not for today's teaching. But we'll see that as we go ahead in the revelation of God. Was it God that destroyed Sodom? We'll get to know. Get to find out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at what Moses has done.
Who is Abraham for?
In just some chapters before, Genesis 15, verses 6. And talking about Abraham, and he believed the Lord, and he was counted, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Did you see that? Abraham believed God.
Just like Abel. What we are saying now? Just like Abel, just like Noah. Abraham believed God. Now, this is the first time you find the word believe used in scriptures by Moses. Amen. Is that to believe? Abraham believed God. Now, it doesn't then mean that others didn't believe, right? But what Moses did was to write that belief in terms of what he used as imagery to show that they believed. For Abel, he offered. I hope you are following me. He offered a sacrifice that was accepted by God. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. For Jacob, he wasn't found speaking ill of the best right, just like Esau. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me.
Glory to God. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as right for righteousness. So one thing that is vital with Abraham is that he believed God.
Hope you're saying that, right? And in chapter 20, he's called a prophet.
But let's leave that for today. He believed God. Just like today, you are called a believer. Because you believe God. Did you see that? Amen. Just like no believers, Abraham too believed God.
Amen. If you are around in church last, if you are around yesterday, I said that to us. Language have changed. Right? But you must take note of four things that didn't change. Never across the two worlds, Hebrew and Greek. Four things didn't change.
We said what? God didn't change, right? God is God, so God never repented.
Hallelujah. God is God. Oh, God in the Old Testament was always sending fire. Not the fire. It's a duke. Then God in the New Testament is now calmer. He has dealt with anger issues. In the Old Testament, there was no anger issues. The New Testament, there was no anger issues. You are nowhere. So in the Old Testament, you used to have high BP. New Testament, you didn't have God. There's something wrong with your brain. So some people say, no, actually, what happened is that grace came in the New Testament. You are nowhere. Don't say such things. Okay, that is why I love what Dr. Abel Damina would say. He would say, come, let's teach you scripture.
before you go outside here and mesmerizing yourself. Amen. Hear the word of God. And that's what we're doing. Hope you're following. That's what we're doing. We're teaching you the word. It's God's truth. That's what we're answering on Saturdays. It's God's truth. So,
where were we?
Where are this money coming from?
Eh? So, yeah, four things didn't change. So, God didn't change, we say,
faith did not change. Okay, hear me. Faith did not change. Who is that? Is it the same guys? It's not them, right? Okay, faith did not change. Hallelujah. God didn't change. Faith didn't change. Faith. So faith is faith. So you say no. Faith in the Old Testament is different. Faith in Israel is the same thing. Faith is faith. Amen. Third, sin did not change. Sin in Genesis is sin. Is sin today? It did not change. Amen. Lastly, unbelief and disobedience is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I hope you are following me. So you must always understand these four things will change. God, faith, unbelief, and sin. They are the same. So we say Abraham believed God. If you are to put it in the Septuagint, it will be Abraham. That's the same word for believe in the Greek. Believed God and was counted for him as righteousness. Did you see that? So Abraham stands in the place of the believer today. Right?
So let's see that. So if Abraham does stand there, that means Moses is using Abraham to prefigure also. He's using Abraham to have an imagery to show the responsibility of the man who believes. He will be found in the place of prayer. You see that? He has contact with David. He has contact with God. Is that heaven and earth? Is that heaven and earth? Right? He had contact with God, heaven and earth, and he wasn't asking God to give him a good job, to give him more money. What was he asking for? He was praying. Did you see that?
He was praying. So, did you see why the vital activity in the temple?
So Moses writes it for you to see. In that union, a vital activity will be prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see something else. If we look at Jesus' commentary in Matthew 12 verse 13. Why did I call 13 now? Sorry? Sorry, Mark 11:15. Better off. Mark 11:15. And when they came into Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables and the money changers, and the seats of them that sold gold, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, now when he had done that, he now taught them.
So he was using that as a symbol to his teaching.
He now taught them, saying to them, now this will be a summary of what he taught. Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, and ye have made it a den of thieves.
Did you see that? So Jesus had that comment. My house shall be called a house of prayer.
Prayer! My house, there is that union, the temple, heaven and earth, right?
shall be called a house of prayer. For you have made it den of thieves. So we said Jesus read Isaiah into Jeremiah. Right? He reads Isaiah 56 verse 7 into Jeremiah 7 verse 11. And we saw that last week. Showing us that if a man isn't given to prayer, he is therefore given to something else. If a man is not given to prayer, he is given to something else. If a man is not given to prayer, he is making the house of God a den of thieves.
That's what he's doing. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So, let's see something. Prayer is a show of your submission to God's power. That's what Abraham is doing there. He knows that the only way salvation can get to Sodom will not be by man's power. So he submits. Hallelujah. So prayer is a show of your submission to God's power, to God's will, God's ability. So when a man doesn't pray, when a man doesn't have prayer as a vital activity, he is saying to God that I don't need your help. When a man doesn't pray, he's saying he doesn't need God's help. Which we said last week is a lie from the devil. It's a lie. It's a deceit of the devil. Devil's Satan's deceit from Genesis chapter 3 is to lie to man that man can be independent. We saw that. Last time. The revelation of God. Hallelujah. When he says, I said it yesterday to us. When you read Genesis, get back to Genesis chapter 3 quickly. Everybody, just get back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verses 5, and put your hands in verse 22. Look at verses 5. Look at what Satan said to God. To Eve. He says, "For God know that the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil."
You know, it looks as if, you know what Satan said? He said, the day you eat it, your eye will be open, you will be like God. Amen? You will be like God. Stop.
Go to verse 22. Look at what God said. Look at what Moses said God said. 22. He says, "The Lord said, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become like one of us to know good and evil." So, is it not looking as if the serpent said the truth?
Look at the serpent said the truth. For the first time, Satan will lie. No.
And that is why we're teaching you God's word, so that you see. Hallelujah. So the word there, to man is become like one of us, it's not saying man is not like us. No, that word there is. Now, I told us it's the translator's bias. It's become like one of us. Now when you look at that word, it's become like one of us. It actually means man is away from us. Did you see that? So that is what God said. God didn't say man is not like us. No. God is saying man is away from us. That is, man is now independent of God. Did you see that? Watch that. Then go back to Genesis 2 verse 15. Moses is writing in sequence. Look at what Moses said. Genesis 2:15. He says, "And Lord took man, put him in the garden of Eden." No, look at verses 18. He said, "It's not good that the man should be alone." Right? Said, "We'll make him and help meet for him."
Now, you know what? I will make him there. And showed us yesterday that the word "I" is not, is that word, that pronoun doesn't exist in the Hebrew.
Many times, it's the translators that put that word there. So when you use the word, "I will make him and help me," it's actually in the Hebrew, "I will be and help me to him."
Do you see that?
So is God stating clearly that he will be man's help. Making you see that the way God made man to be dependent on him. So what Satan offers man is independence away from God. Hope you are following that.
Hope you are following that.
So Satan offered independence away from God. And God said no. What man needs is to be dependent on him.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hope you are following me now. So,
Genesis chapter 3 is not God, or is not God giving kudos to what Satan has said.
No.
I hope you are following me. How many of you have thought of it like that before? That God actually said Satan was right there. How many of you have thought of it like that? Some of you wouldn't see. I always
battled
with that thing. I'm like,
fine, but I kept cool because I knew I would get it. And when I saw it, I was like, that's true.
God wasn't giving kudos.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me. God wasn't giving kudos to it. God is saying, man is not away from us. Man is not independent of him. And that is a lie. Hope you're following me. It's just like saying, I used to say it like this years back. I said, you cannot take a fish outside the water and expect the fish to live. The fish will die.
So therefore, the way God created man to be dependent on him. You should depend on him.
So Satan offers to Eve independence away from God. And that will be called treason. Hope you have seen that.
So when a man doesn't pray, he's saying he doesn't need God's help. That's what he's saying. When a man doesn't pray, he's saying, I don't need God's help. And that is a sin.
Put it like this. That will be a lie of the devil. Hallelujah.
So why? Because God is our helper. Did you see it there? I will be an help unto him. Genesis 2:18. God says he will be an help unto man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is my helper.
I say it always. God is my helper. You know, God is Ebenezer. He's our help. So he said, no. He was talking about man. That someone one time. Why do you want to get married? He said, because the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. What kind of nonsense are you saying? That I need a woman that will be my helpmate.
No. The day you know a woman is not your helpmate is the day your car will spoil on Tom Milan Bridge. You know that you don't have a help in a woman.
That is not for woman. Genesis 2:18 is not for a woman. Genesis 2:18 is for God. God is saying he will be a helpmate to man. That is where you have the word Ebenezer. Isaiah. I will be an Isaiah to him. Isaiah is not for anybody apart from God. Hallelujah.
Amen. God is my help. Say, God is my help. Hallelujah. See, God is not just our help for spiritual things alone. God is our help in everything. God is our help. Everything.
That is how God has created man.
Man to be what? Dependent on him.
Independence away from God will be out of this presence. That will be sin. That will be unbelief. I can do it on my own. I can face the devil on my own. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, God is our help in everything. God is our help. So, man shouldn't live or try to live independent of God. Never. Learn to trust in God.
That's why you are a child of God. Learn to trust in God. In fact, trust in God always.
Hope you're hearing me. Trust in God always. Trust in God in everything. In everything, trust God. Hallelujah. Trust God in all things. Glory to God. Trust God. A dear minister once said, if there is a man to pray, there is a God to hear and to answer. You need to trust God in everything. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, everybody. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Verses 6. Philippians 4, 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing.
When you use that word, be careful. Let me just read it out. So you see, be careful for nothing. Say, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. That word, be careful there, is that Greek word that is the word merimano. M-E-R-I-M-N-A-O. Merimano. It means to be anxious, to worry, to take thought of things. You're always thinking. Some people, their middle name is, you know it. Always worry. This life. This life. Some people, they are even worrying for people that are dead. Worrying for what doesn't concern them. This life. More bad. You're worrying for what doesn't concern them. Hey, you're worrying, you worry. When you're not going to worry.
Hallelujah. Just worry up and up. So people can worry. Hallelujah.
You know, when you worry, you speak. Hallelujah. When someone is worrying, he's speaking.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Some people worry for Nigeria.
Huh.
Some people will now worry on their Facebook post. You'll now be typing their worry. I'm just saying my mind. Just worry up and down.
Hallelujah. But the Bible gives us an instruction. Be careful for nothing.
Hallelujah. Bible tells us, do not worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not worry. Paul is doing that. And he says, rather than worry, he says, by prayer and supplication.
Rather than worry, he says, pray.
Hope you are seeing that. Rather than worry about the job, about the contract, about school, about... No, you have an answer. You have an option. You have a way out. Hallelujah. You can pray. You can trust God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was chatting with someone this week and I said, you know what, believe God. I thought he doesn't believe God. He said, see, let me tell you, say these words always. God is my helper. Say it always. God is my helper. I said to the person, say it always. The person replied me back, God is my helper. I said, it's not typing it back to me. Say it. Say it. God is my helper. God is my helper. See, when things are tight, say God is my helper. Who are you helping me? When you look as if the future is black and you can see anything, God is my helper. I'm not walking through life alone. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes some people see their pastors and think, Papa has got it all figured out. No, most times we don't even know what will happen in the next 4 hours. So I'm not dead. I say, but we know what? There's something that I know. God is my helper. I will come out of it up in my head, up high. I know that. Hallelujah. God is my helper. Hope you're hearing me.
God, my helper. Was learned to trust God like that.
I'm going to say something just in a short while. Just listen. Hallelujah. So rather than worry, you can pray. When a man worries, worry is a sign of a non-prayer life. When you see believers worry, they don't have a prayer life.
So he said, can you just be, can you just believe God and ask?
You can! You can! You can believe God like that. Amen! Amen! You can believe God like that. I can believe God like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can. Look at what he says in verse 7. And the peace of God. You know, worry is that your mind is troubled. But he said, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your request be made known unto him. Unto God. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. The peace of God, which passeth understanding.
Because when your mind is worrying, when you are worrying, your mind is not at ease. But when you pray, you get the peace of God, which passeth all understanding.
I love what the translation, how a translation will put it. It says, like a garrison of soldiers.
That's the word. Will guard your heart. That word guard there is a military term.
Like a garrison of soldiers.
Will guard your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what prayer does is that it guards your heart from worry. It guards your heart from worrying. That's what prayer does. It guards your heart from worry. If there's a man to pray, it's a God to answer. Amen. You know, I'm teaching you something on God is our provider on Thursday, right? Along the line of Christian faith and material wealth. And we are going towards somewhere last week, right?
And I told us that God has a mechanism in place to meet our needs, right? Well, I'm going to see that
in the coming weeks. Glory to God. There is a man to pray. Is it God to answer? There is a God to answer. Hope you're hearing me. There's God to hear. So why would you worry when you can pray? Tell me. Why would you worry when you can pray? Say no. Why are you worrying? No, I'm just...
No, why would you worry? Why you can pray?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why not learn to pray about it? Why not learn to pray about it? You are a believer. Learn to pray about things. Learn to pray about it.
Hallelujah. Learn to pray about it. Why worry when I can pray? Why worry when I can just set out the thoughts? Why worry? Will worry come? Ah, you're in this world. Worry will come. But you have a bailout. See, I'm telling you, worry will come. I'm going around again. Bam! The subsidy has been removed again. Again! Instead of shouting, I work. There's a bailout. I can't pray. Why not just step out the thoughts? Hallelujah. It takes your mind away from it. Glory to God. Just step out the thoughts.
Just pray about it. Just pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, even for things you can figure out in the natural, you know, sometimes we just think, there's no need to pray now. When I know this answer,
have I not been working like this for 10 years?
I've been a businessman now. Is it not logistics? Just bring here, put here, everything is sorted out.
Even if you know the answer, amen, you can pray about it. Even if you think you have the answer in the natural already, you already know how it's going to play out. Right?
We can pray about it.
How does it now mean? Please, I need to put a caveat there. How does it now mean? You know that mind you are going to lose. And you say, let us pray about it. How? When there's a Maguire at the back. Let's pray about it. Pray about it. Be careful of that. That is a caveat.
Amen. Amen. I'm talking by faith. If you know, you know. Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead. But is there a writer? Even though you can figure things out,
no, over time, we can get you used to a routine of what you do. Go to work. When you get to the office, you sign it, do this. Something comes up. We've always done it like this. Right? Good. But you know what? Let's pray.
That is what differentiates us from the men in the world. The men in the world don't have God. Please open the verse.
Hallelujah. Amen. What do we have that they don't have? They don't have God. Did you see that?
They don't have God. The Bible says, look at Ephesians 2. Quickly, Ephesians 2. Are you there?
verses 11. It says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcised, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, says that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in the world.
Did you see that? When a man is not born again, he doesn't have God. He doesn't have God. So, but we are born again. We have God. We can talk to him. Hallelujah. We can pray about him. We can trust him. Amen. In your office, trust God. Trust God. Hallelujah. Before you take that, you don't say, all those things like this, trust God. In your school, trust God.
Hallelujah. Trust God. Hallelujah. At home, trust God. What are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because prayer is trusting, submitting to God's will. Prayer is the worship of God.
Hallelujah. Prayer is the worship of God.
That's a few more thoughts here. Amen. Just a few more. So, prayer is the worship of God. So what is God's will? What's God's will? God's will is the earth. God's will is God's plan for men. Amen. God's will is the whole earth. God's plan is for man to be found in his will.
God's will is the whole earth, all men to be in him, and God's plan for man is to be found in his will. What will be that will? Mark 16:15. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, listen, since prayer is worship of God, since prayer is submitting to God's will, and God's will is in the whole earth, and God's plan is for man to be in his will, it therefore means that no man, in quotes, no believer, can fulfill God's will outside prayer. I put it like this. No man can say he or she is fulfilled outside God's will. No man can say confidently is fulfilled. That is why, see, no man, like I say, that's why even those who are rich, they have all the money, yet they still that lacuna. They still that space.
That void.
God bless you. They still that space, that void. That void is the emptiness of being without God. You see, as those of you who have always been around in church for years, I've always told you the reason why people go out smoke, the reason why people go out take drugs, the reason why people go out go to club and drink and do those things is because there's that void, there's that space without God in this world. God has put it in every man to seek after him. And God has given you that responsibility to channel that thought, that taste, that hunger that is for him, to channel it back to him. If not, man will take it the wrong way. Some people will think they want to make all the money. At the end of making all the money, they are not still fulfilled. You can't find fulfillment outside God. No man can find fulfillment outside God. And the same way too, no man can say he wants to carry out God's will in the earth outside prayer. They are all in that world. We cannot carry out God's will in the earth outside prayer. Prayer is you are submitting all, suspending all to the power of God. Look at Jesus. I showed you earlier that Jesus is God. Yes, in the incarnation, it shouldn't be lost on you that Jesus was always praying. He was always praying. Luke 3:21. He was going to be baptized. He was praying. He didn't say, this is not baptism.
We're going to baptize John. Let's go. Let's go, Master. No.
He was praying.
He was going to baptize. He was praying.
Hallelujah.
That's Jesus. It shouldn't be lost on you. And he will do it just like every patriarch of the Old Testament does. Every of them, watch the men God used in the Old Testament. We're going to explore that, but not in this teaching. When we explore it, you will see all of them that God used, they were men of prayer. God, the men that submit to God's will are always men of prayer. You can't say you are following God and you are not praying. You cannot say you are obeying God and you are not praying. No! Prayer is obedience to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Prayer is obedience to God. Prayer is obedience to God. Jesus also on praying. In Mark 1, verse 35, Jesus had chain prayer, like we call it in church. Chain prayer. Mark 1, verse 35. He said, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there prayed.
Jesus prayed.
Early in the morning, he prayed. Before he started his day, he prayed. Some people wake up in the morning, forget God. How? How can you do that?
Hallelujah. You are waking up, you are praying. Hallelujah. Early, he went to pray. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. In Mark 6, verse 46, you can take that down. We'll look at all this next week. Okay, let's look at Mark 6, verse 46. Mark 6, 46. This was after he was done feeding 5,000 men. In verse 46, after a great meeting, they went out, he taught them for like 3 days. And when he was done teaching them and giving them food, verse 46, he sent them away and departed to a mountain to pray. After a special meeting, he went to pray. Some people, after a special meeting, you pray before the special meeting. After a special meeting, you went to the last. Say, we are finished GPL. Oh God. Ah! We pray though. Oh! Shalom and go rest. The next thing you are thinking of is to take who? Next they are thinking of is to drink fast, to sleep. Ha! You are done with Believer's Convention, 3 days. The next thing you think of is to eat rice and chicken. Say, let me just wait. Maybe when I will start my chain prayer, I will be maybe after 2 weeks. Let person rest. No! Jesus was done with a special meeting and he was praying. Can you see that? He was praying. He was on a special meeting. He was praying. He went to pray. He didn't give break. He didn't say, since we are done with workers retreat around 10. Pastor, should they be serviced by 2? Let's just, since we are done everything. Jesus went to pray. He didn't finish and went to play PS4. Or PS5. He went to pray. Did you see that? Pray. I love this song we used to sing while growing up. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. Well, I don't know what kind of master key you are talking about, but there's a master key that opens some doors. That's for serious. But what I want to teach you is that Jesus is a man given to prayer. Okay, well, let me give it to prayer. Let's pray. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is God, though. God became a man and God was praying. You to pray is hard. Jesus gave us the mother. That is that prayer. The Christian life that is not submitted to prayer is a Christian that is living a wasteful life. He's not redeeming the time. Paul will say you redeem the time. He said because the days are evil.
And one way to redeem the time is prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray! Some people want songs to make them pray. So if there is no song, you cannot pray. What kind of life is that? I want to be listening to a song. Now you to be inducing you to pray. Until the day I now saw someone listening to Lil Wayne and was praying. One song to induce you to pray. Now you will not sleep. Okay, remove the song, remove the trombone, remove the... What is it called? The fearless.
And pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. You pray. In Matthew 14, Jesus was done with another special meeting. Matthew 14, verses 23, he went to pray. It shouldn't be lost on you to see as a pastor, as a leader, as a church member. Now you are done with the Holy Ghost meeting. You are done with the believer's conversion. You are done with the prayer retreat. You are done with the worker's convention. And you are going home to relax. No! You should be hitting the prayer ground to pray. You will get into your closet, closing the door and pray.
Because you found it in Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's Matthew 14, 23. Look at Luke 5, 16. Hope you're following me. Luke 5, 16. He healed somebody of leprosy. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed.
Luke 5, 16. He healed somebody of leprosy and he went to pray. He didn't say, no, let me grant special media. You see, this is power. I am Jesus Christ in Daboski Parousi liquid metal. He didn't do that nonsense. He didn't do that. He didn't do it. He didn't say, video me, push it on. No. He went to pray. Leave all those media, social media paparazzi. Social media is no power. But remember, everything you want to do, you want people to see, it shows you are not the person giving to prayer. Most of the things you should do shouldn't be in the public. No! Some people, they are doing prayer meetings. They are doing video. They are doing those things. Live prayer service. If the camera is not praying, if he's praying, his camera should be showing the ground or the thing. You don't need to pray. The light service, everybody is praying, pray. Cameraman is not praying. If he is praying, he will not camera. I'm telling you. Something like that. And then when you see, our church is a praying church. Those are people do. Well, smart is only teaching things you need to see online. What about prayer service? Let's see your business. Prayer is inside. It's inside. Let's pray inside. If you find that one online. How to find prayer service online, GPLR online. Continue. You will see. A lot of people think GPLR, when they see long service, they say, this is what? Patriarchy and feminism, where is God? Say, this is the kind of meeting I want to attend. Come. You will pray. You know what people are saying? You know, we are praying, no? You know we've scattered that. You can't say you are praying. Let's see you that are saying you pray. Yeah? Go away, we go. It's another GPL around the corner. I hope you know that. It's around the corner. Oh, we are GPL. I look forward to GPL. I was telling a pastor in church. One of your pastors, I said, I'm looking forward. There are 2 weeks I look forward to every year. To visit GPL. I look forward to it. Because I know the fact that my next year is time to those prayer. I mean to those meetings. I can't joke with them. I've seen a pastor in church and I don't joke with them.
Since I found WCC, I said I'll never miss it in my life. Never. GPLR is learning where there is WCC. Hope you know. Or we don't know. Amen. Amen. Go away, no go. When the people are entering GPL and they are looking out for when are we going to finish? You shall prolong the days. Go away, no go. It's around the corner. Chapter 6, verse 12.
Luke 6:12. Look at it. That is Luke 5, Luke 6. And it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night Jesus prayed. All night in Jews means from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That's all night. So Jesus started praying 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. He said, therefore don't tell me, prayer is not about how long, it's about how well. Continue. How well is it, how long? You don't know. It's not about how long, it's how well. You don't have stamina. You have gas out. That's why I say it's not about how long, it's how well.
Gas out. Amen. Glory to God.
Look at the apostles too. You know, it's only a blind person that will pick up the book of Acts and he will not see prayer all through. It's only a blind person. Hallelujah. Look at when Jesus was so skinny.
When they hanged Jesus, when Jesus was crucified, the disciples went to hide. Hope you know that. They went to hide. But after the 40 days, what did Jesus do? He taught them. Right? Remember, your knowledge of God, your worship of God is effective to the degree of your knowledge of Him. So Jesus has taught them. Now, He has left their sight physically. He will be found in them. Right?
Now, in the first activity you find them doing, in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 14, is what? They were praying. Look at it. After Jesus left them physically, and will be found in them, in verse 14, he said, and this all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication.
They know to pray. I thought they were afraid. Now they know to pray. Hallelujah.
Now, it was that prayer that they prayed that one day, now in chapter 2, verse 1, in the day of Pentecost, they were praying. They were not just sitting down and looking and counting silly. They were praying. Hallelujah. And then they had the Holy Ghost meeting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at the effect of it in Acts 2, verses 16. I mean verses 14. Peter stood up.
Peter was afraid. Peter, that when they were calling Jesus, they small girl. So the man was afraid of it. You're not afraid of me. I know you. And Peter come. And then, let me use it now today's day. You know what's better for you? You want to kill me with this? That was when Peter caught the little child. He caught the little child. But this is the same Peter.
After he had prayed,
hallelujah, he faced a whole community. And then he preached 3,000 of them and he got saved. He faced a whole community and preached. The same Peter that was afraid of the girl, a little child. It's the same Peter that preached to the community. Brothers and sisters, prayer drowns fear. Prayer drowns fear. If there's fear in your heart, it's because you are not praying. Hallelujah. Prayer drowns fear. Someone says, are you not afraid of tomorrow? I say, I can't be afraid of tomorrow. Why? Because I've heaped up prayer for tomorrow. I've heaped up prayer ahead. I can't be afraid. My future, my tomorrow is secured in His hands. Glory to God. You can make such boasts because you're a man and a person of faith. Hallelujah. No, I don't know what tomorrow is going to be. You're not praying.
Hear that? Hope you're hearing me. Prayer drowns fear. In Acts of Apostles chapter 3, verses 1, Peter was going to the temple in the hour of prayer. They had prayer time. Hallelujah. Acts 4, when they carried them and flogged them. The people that flogged them were, the disciples of Jesus were not elderly men. They were young guys. They were teenagers. If you don't know it today, the disciples of Jesus were teenagers, young guys. Teenagers, like around your age.
And the Bible says the elders are elderly people. They carried them and they gave them public beating. They would, if we hear, look at what they said. From what they said, you know that you're a young guy. Say, if we hear ping about Jesus again, if we hear ping, go home.
as they allowed them to leave.
You know, let me use those of you who are scared of this. As they came out from third progress, they just went like this.
That's what it is.
They just came out from third progress.
Woo!
And how they jumping and shouting. The Bible said they rejoice. They rejoiced greatly that they were wanting to be flogged for Jesus.
Imagine they flogged you publicly in that police station and you came out. And they told you, you know, pimp. You know when your father is not flogging and you hear pimp?
Flogging! So if you come out, but you know the weather, you think everyone just go.
No! That's what prayer does. Prayer drowns fear.
You're not afraid of any threat. You're not afraid of what man is going to do to you. You know it's Jesus to the ends of the earth. You know it's Jesus forever. Amen?
Remember one time like that, they were praying in Pastor Kujita, that was just back from this.
They came and they carried. they carry that. And 2 years of the was right? They packed there. They hear that plane. The next week they went back there. They were the friend that were having on service. Happy service. Inside the base. That was just back. They came and said that we're disturbing them. You know what we did? We didn't stop church. We now knew how to use fans to push our boys back.
Well, you know what? We'll have church.
They were just back. Imagine we gave up. Imagine we gave up. Do you think we'll be here today? Do you think you'll be here today? Do you think you'll be hearing what they are hearing today?
Prayer will always drown sin. And the more you pray, the more you trust God. The more you pray, the more you trust God. Hallelujah. That's the prayer part. Look at verse 29. Acts 4. Verse 24. And so when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord and said, this is that after they flocked them, they lifted up their voice to God in prayer. They prayed. Hallelujah. Verse 30. Look at the effect. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were shaking. It shouldn't be lost on you to see that you were always praying.
Hallelujah. In Acts 6, Peter said, we give ourselves continually. Acts 6, the 6, to the ministry of the word and prayer. Ministry of prayer. By Acts 9, Paul had an encounter with God. The next thing Paul was found doing was praying. Acts 9:11, he was praying. God had to tell Ananias, you'll find him praying. That is Acts 9. By after God wanted to reach out to Cornelius. It took Peter to go and pray. Peter was praying. It was in the place of prayer, Peter had a vision and the Lord told him to go to Cornelius' house. You can't miss it. If I ask God when they carried Peter and said that they were going to kill Peter, the Bible says the church made intercession for prayer, for Peter without season. They had to pray for Peter without season. Ask God. But after this, you see again that they have prayer meetings. And then God said, separate us of you, Barnabas and Saul. You cannot do the work of God outside prayer. You cannot serve God outside prayer. See a man who is afraid. See a man who is not serving God, is not praying. You can't serve God without praying. Hallelujah. Someone, I said this to someone in the office. Someone actually... just a minor talk. The first day I was one that took her Bible. I said, I didn't take your Bible. I said, well, you say you did not take a shot, no problem. Don't worry. I will go and meet Ogun. Ogun. I said, if you like, meet the father of Ogun. I said, if you like, meet the father of Ogun. Cannot do me shimba. Me. Say, I want to take your name to shrine. I will help you. I will bring you to the chief shrine. Not afraid. And then I told you, I copied the words of my pastor. I said, I fear king.
calm down. Go and do it. Because I'm given to prayer, I cannot be afraid. He said, you are going to Ijebulan. Ijebu kill them. Ijebu. You waste your transport to go and come back. Nothing. Not them. Me. Don't leave guys.
Amen. Why can you speak like that?
I know prayer. I'm a child of God. You can trust God that way. So what if they put poison in the food? I eat. I eat. I'm not scared. It's poison. It's only poison. Look for something else. See, prayer drives fear. If you are still afraid, just if you are afraid, they are not the person you need to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A vital activity in the temple is what? Prayer.
Let's close. 1 Corinthians 3. No, 1 Corinthians 6 rather. Verse 19. Say what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. Did you see that? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 So, if my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, what activity should be found in the temple?
What activity should be found in the temple? What activity should be found in the temple? I want to stir your heart today. Are you afraid? You're not praying. I want to stir your heart this afternoon. Are you scared? You're not praying. Are you worried? You're not praying. Hallelujah. You can set that to prayer. Always pray. Don't pray because there's a problem. Pray because it's a worship. Don't see prayer as what you are being cajoled to do. No. Amen. Somebody was playing a song and I said, don't I like the song? This song that is a bit rampant. I will pray, I will pray. If I don't pray, this time will take my soul. I bet it was there. I bet. That said, don't I like it? I said, am I praying because Satan wants to make mess of me? No. I'm praying because prayer is worship. Okay, I'm praying because prayer is worship to God. And that's how I pray. Okay, that's why I'm praying. Because it is worship to God. I'll pray. Because it will drown fear. It will drown anxiety. It will drown worry. It will drown. There's a God to answer. You believe there's a God to answer? You believe there's a God to answer? So let's pray. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Let's pray, church. Let's pray.